Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley, inviting you to open to the radical notion that in your life, whatever you perceive to be in your way is the way. In other words, your challenges, whether they be relationships, compulsions, finances, or illness, come with gifts embedded in them that can bring healing and allow you to experience the joy of being fully alive. Mary is a counselor, awakening mentor, inspirational speaker, and the author of What's in the Way is the Way, The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and The Magical Gift of Aliveness. What's in Your Way is the Way with Mary O'Malley is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way. I am your host, Mary O'Malley. And today we are exploring that pain doesn't have to be so painful. So let's begin by agreeing that life can be painful at times. In fact, it can be quite painful at times. And the interesting question is, what do we do with that pain? What do we do with physical discomfort, with anxiousness, with unease, with trying and not having it work out? Well, the best way we can see is in our bodies. So here you are walking down the hallway and you stub your toe and it hurts. And what do we do? The classic thing is, you know, we hop around and we curse and we get mad at whoever left the big thing in the hallway right where you walk, or we judge ourselves for, oh my God, how clumsy I am. And all the while, your toe is hurting all by itself. In other words, when we are hurt by life, but it's not only big hurts, just when we're unsettled by life or challenged by life, we leave ourselves. We go up and away into our reactive mind. In other words, we leave ourselves when we most need ourselves. We have been trained to try to get away from anything that is uncomfortable. Look at the last time that you had a headache, or maybe a hangover, or a food hangover. We resist discomfort, and we don't realize how that amplifies the pain. But it isn't just with physical things. You know, let's say that, you met somebody on a dating website and now you've been seeing each other for almost a year. And this kind of feels like maybe it's the one, you know? There's a good connection. You can have a lot of fun together. There's a lot of interesting things to talk about. And then one day you get a text that says, "Sorry, but I'm moving on." What happens inside of you? It's the same as when you stubbed your toe. You go up into your head in reaction. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just pointing out that that is where we go and that is where we stay. So you may be, spending a lot of time tearing him down, and you call your friends and, you say what a horrible person he is, and they agree with you, and or you just have a meltdown and you can't stop crying and you call into work sick the next day. We leave ourselves when we most need ourselves. Here you are with a broken heart. And you're up in your head, in your reactions, unable to respond to your own heartache. And it isn't just with relationships or, your physical body. Let's say that your child gets ill or your mate gets ill. And oftentimes what we do is we get lost in our own reactions, not realizing that our loved one needs our calm, steady presence. This doesn't mean that you can't react, but we're going to be talking in a few minutes about how you can be with that reaction so it calms down enough so that you can respond. So, how we are with the uncomfortable parts of life is like being in quicksand. As soon as you get caught in a bog of quicksand, if you try to fight your way out, it only gets you more deeply caught in the quicksand. And that is true in our lives, that we actually amplify our pain. In fact, they have shown that, physically, that when you resist pain in your body, you tighten down around it. So in this area where there's a stubbed toe or an aching back, because we've been trained to resist and try to get as far away from it as we can, we actually tighten down around the painful area in our body. And we actually amplify it. So resistance to pain actually increases our pain. And it doesn't happen just physically. It happens mentally and emotionally too. And we need to just pause for a moment and just recognize the enormity of our resistance. How much we have been trained to try to get away from what we don't like and try to get to what we do like. And all of this resistance causes us to be even more vulnerable. Let's say, going back to the example of getting a text of ending the relationship, and when you talk to your friends about revenge and how bad this person is, and then you go to sleep all by yourself and you wake up in the middle of the night and there's just a tsunami wave of pain that you were trying to get away from by making this other person bad or wrong, that you were away from it by going up into your head and into your reactions. And what we don't see is most people are a victim to their lives. I know that's quite a loaded word, but what I mean here is we feel life is happening to us, and we have to control it to try to keep all the uncomfortable parts of life away, and then we are caught in the quicksand of struggle. I have an image. I think it's wonderful to create images of what this kind of awakening is about, because a picture is worth a thousand words. And imagine the most beautiful ocean you could ever imagine extends forever. This is the ocean of being. And you lived in that ocean when you were very young, before thoughts began to fill up your head. And as that happened, slowly and surely you crawled into a very small, opaque bubble. And I call this the bubble of struggle. This is where most people live. And if you doubt that, if you had just a little door on your forehead and you could open it up and watch the ticker tape of your thoughts all day long, you'll see that they're always trying to make you and your life be better or different than what it is. And yes, most of those struggles are not very big. We just don't like our hair today, you know, although if you watch it very carefully, it can go to the deep pain of not wanting to be rejected. You know, it's wanting to be liked, but it really is not wanting to be rejected. And so we struggle with the length of a stoplight, or that our television program has been preempted for a football game. But the longer we live in this world of struggle, the more we know even bigger and bigger struggles. And we don't know how to be with them. We don't know how to be with the painful and uncomfortable parts of life. But there is a different way. Remember the title of this show. Your pain does not have to be so painful. What would happen if you saw your pain? We're including discomfort and unease and all of that in this, all the struggles. What would happen if you saw that it was your teacher? That pain wakes us out of our mindless slumber in the bubble of struggle. It wakes us up and begins to show us that mostly we live in resistance to life, and resistance creates suffering. So what would happen if your pain became something to go towards? Yes, of course, you're always going to have, you know, initial reactions. You know, you hang up the phone, or you close the phone after reading the text, you know, and God, the mind just goes crazy and your heart beats and you get a fist in your stomach and you feel an elephant sitting on your chest and you feel you can hardly swallow because there's a lump in your throat. Of course, we will have these initial reactions, but we don't have to stay caught in them. We can actually begin to investigate our reactions, investigate the pain that we are reacting to, and discover how to unhook from struggle itself. So I want to give you an example out of my life. So I went to the hardware store and got one of those big 4x4 posts, you know, that you use to, you know, put up fences. I was treating it, so that when you put it in the ground, it doesn't rot. And, oh, my God, this stuff is so smelly. You know, and I had a tarp on the floor of the carport, and I had a couple of 5-gallon buckets, and the 4x4 was resting one end on one bucket and one end on the other bucket. And, you know, I got it all done, and I turned around and knocked the post off of the bucket, and it landed on top of my foot. And as you all probably know very well, a 4x4 post is a very heavy piece of wood, and the top of your foot is very, very sensitive. And it was like a explosion of pain. It was like fireworks of pain. But almost immediately, I mean, I saw the reaction. I saw myself go up into my mind. I saw myself leave myself when I was hurting. And I immediately sat down, and I had slip-on shoes, so that's part of the reason it wasn't, you know, a heavier shoe that would have broken some of this. It was just a slip-on shoe. And I took it off, and I just held my foot. I treated it as if it were my only child. I was with it like I was when my children were hurting. I wasn't the type of parent that said, oh, you know, you're okay, or stop making a big deal out of it, or, you know, I'm too busy right now, you know, go ask your father, or something along the line. I understood that when you meet pain, whether it's yours or another's, it moves through more quickly. And so I just sat there on the step and just loved, enfolded this poor throbbing foot in care and tenderness. I kept on saying, I see that you are hurting, and I am here with you. And it may sound strange, but a foot is just like people. People, when they're hurting, don't want us to fix them. They don't want solutions. Or, well, they may ask for them, but at the beginning, no. What they want is to be heard. So I was listening to my foot. I was present for my foot. You know, it's so easy to go away. It's so easy to react. But we can learn the art of keeping company with our pain, to actually be there with it. What I was doing was I was using my attention as a flashlight, and I was looking directly at the pain. Oh, my God, we've been taught the exact opposite. But what I said earlier, when you can be present for your pain, it moves through you more quickly. And so I was directly experiencing, with great curiosity and deep compassion, my foot that was hurting so much. You know, Adi Shanti, a highly respected teacher of awakening, once said, oh no, maybe it was Jeff Foster, I can't remember, one of them said this, that our hurts don't want to be healed. They want to be held. We're beginning to realize that our accepting attention is one of the most powerful healing tools we have. You know, I learned this from Stephen Levine, who learned what I'm sharing with you from thousands and thousands of people on their deathbeds, that when we are dying, that's when the pain is up the most. Oftentimes the physical pain, although we are getting better, but not completely in medicating the pain, but the pain of, you know, losing our lives and losing our loved ones and losing our dreams and all of that, that's when the pain is the greatest. And Stephen learned from them what we are exploring today, that resisting all of that only amplifies it. And going towards it softens it. It allows it begin to move through us. So the first time I really heard this was when Stephen was talking about that he lived in a house way in the mountains of Santa Fe, of New Mexico, and their only heat was a wood-burning stove. So, and they had a big whole family, and oftentimes, you know, they would get burnt in stoking this stove. And so what they would do is they try this grand experiment. So when they would get burnt, then they would send resistance and hatred and darkness into the burn. Then, the next time they got burnt, they would be present for it with love and care and compassion like I was with my foot. And they found over and over again the burns that were met with compassion and curiosity actually healed more quickly than the burns that were resisted and sent darkness into it. The first time I ever heard him talk about this in a way that really made sense to me, because I was hearing all this, but I was kind of getting it, but wow, it was just so new because my whole life had been resistant to what I was experiencing. That's why I overate so much and why I added alcohol when I went away to college, and then I added street drugs, you know, and then I once gained 97 pounds in a year, and I was washing it all down with alcohol and taking every drug I could find. And then when that wouldn't stop the pain, yes, it would numb me out, you know, get blindingly drunk, or I would eat so much I could hardly even move. And so I would turn numb until I woke up the next day. And so my whole life had been resistant to anything that was uncomfortable. And so the first time I really got this was when Stephen was telling a story about a woman who had gotten cancer, and then she began training in pain techniques, and she became very adept that she, you know, traveled the country and, you know, and taught and worked with some American Indian pain techniques and Tibetan techniques and, you know, just good old standard, you know, U.S. techniques. And all of those techniques were about putting your awareness elsewhere so you don't have to experience the pain. And this worked for her for a while. But then her cancer came back and it wrapped around her spine. So she met Stephen, and by that time she could hardly even move, so she lay down on a couch and he sat on the coffee table beside her. And she said for the first time in her life, Stephen invited her to allow the pain to be there. We are so used to closing down around our pain, but he guided her in softening her body, in softening her mind, and going into the pain, actually exploring the pain. And so she said, I was in pain for years, but before going into it and actually examining it, I would be hard-pressed to even describe what pain is. So Stephen taught her to be curious. What is the texture of it? Is it hot? Is it cold? Does it stay in one place? Does it vibrate? What is its shape? Does it have tendrils? All these questions invited the healing light of her attention to actually be present for her pain. As they were talking after they did this exploration, she said, talking about the actual moving towards the pain rather than pulling back from it, she said, oh my God, there was a spaciousness, a gentleness involved in this investigation that I never associated with my condition. What she was seeing with the direct experience of her pain was quite different than what she imagined. She said that indeed most of what she called her pain was actually resistance to her pain. And she began to see, as they were exploring, the more she resisted, the fiercer the pain became. And the more she resisted, the more frightened her mind became. And the more she tried to hide. But the only place to hide was in struggle, in suffering. But now she had learned something she had never known before, how to open to it, how to actually be present for what was happening. As they were exploring this, their mind would take back over again, and she said she could almost see the waves of resistance that came to meet this new openness as they rippled along the nerves to magnify her pain. But she would acknowledge that. And that allowed a softness and ease that made room for her pain and allowed it to float in her heart. She said this was just ironic. This was the first time in all these years that she had been so much pain, had been doing all these techniques. This was the first time she ever actually directly experienced her pain. And she could see it didn't stay in one place or even maintain one shape. It was amoeba-like, vibrating, constantly moving. And it was not the hot laser beam that she imagined it, not some solid knot of pain, but rather a mass of multiple changing sensations. Concentrating on those allowed her to be present for her experience, and it brought a quietness to her mind, because pain is such a clear object of investigation. And she was saying to Stephen afterwards that she realized that all the techniques she had acquired for ridding herself of this pain were by their very nature subtly cultivating the resistance that amplified the pain until she was able to go directly towards it to become one with it. Once she had this insight into the nature of pain and resistance, pain was no longer the enemy. It was her teacher. No longer was she trying to pry her awareness away from the pain. She was able to trust her pain, to open around it, to direct her awareness towards it. And this created a deep sense of peace, even though the pain came and went, off and on. And so, you know, hopefully this, what I'm sharing with you is as profound for you as it was for me. Now, did this, you know, whisk resistance away completely? No, you know, it was, I got a glimpse of going towards it. Of course, you know, all of us have left ourselves. We lived in ourselves when we were very young, and then we tightened our body and held our breath and ran away to our heads, and we've all been trained in resistance, in getting away from the uncomfortable, and we aren't aware of how much that is like living in quicksand, and it only amplifies our pain until at the end of our lives we can say, you know, what is that all about? But what that did for me was it intrigued me, and that's what I'm hoping that what I'm offering is going to intrigue you, to begin to just watch that, oh my God, we really do leave ourselves when we most need ourselves. And this amplifies our suffering. Our minds think that the worst thing we can do is actually go towards our experience. because the last time that we were fully present for her experience was when we were very, very little, and we got the living bejesus scared out of us. We got our hearts hurt deeply. But I really invite you to contemplate that resisting your pain only makes it worse. And going towards is the safest thing you'll ever do, as long as you learn how to use the light of your attention to just be curious. This isn't trying to understand your pain. It isn't trying to control your pain. It's just being fascinated. And that's why the questions, you know, how big is it and how deep does it go into your body and is it connected to any other pain and does it come and go or does it stay steady? Those all train your attention out of the reactive mind and into your immediate experience. And I am here to tell you that pain is one of the most beloved teachers you will ever have, because it will amplify your pain and resistance enough that you begin to see that maybe there's something more than this bubble of struggle that I crawled into so long ago. Maybe, just maybe, the ocean of being is who I really am, and I don't need to try to get back to the ocean. What I can do is get to know how I struggle. And so that is what the discomforts of your life can teach you. Another wonderful thing that we can use what is being offered here, use to really bring healing, is listening to our loved ones. And yet, we very rarely really listen. We're trying to fix, or we judge, or we ignore, or we try to control. And yet everybody just wants to be heard. Everybody longs for the light of accepting attention. You know, when I first started working with my first mentor, you know, it took me 3 years before I trusted that when I drove out to see her, that the door wouldn't be locked, because I had gotten so caught. I mean, my bubble of struggle was a B-grade black and white horror movie. That's why I tried to kill myself 3 times. And yet this woman came into my life, and I was scared of her at the beginning. And yet I found myself going back. And it was very terrifying for me, because she was a very empowered woman, and I just knew that she's just going to figure out who I am, and, you know, the door will be locked. But it took me about 3 years to begin to realize that not only was the door not going to be locked, but that it was okay, whatever I brought on any given day to our talks. And slowly and surely, I began to be present for myself in exactly the same way that she was being present for me. I couldn't figure out what was happening. She didn't even ever talk a lot. Well, she did at times, but she listened. And that listening was like the most wonderful salve on a raw, blistering burn of my life. And so the next time somebody comes to you in pain, watch your mind try to change them. We want other people to get out of pain because they remind us of our own pain. And yet that just keeps us caught more in quicksand. And so if you can, maybe you'll only do it for 2 minutes before you get into the addiction of fixing or telling them what to do, you know, or judging them. But even a few minutes of pure listening where you just say, tell me more. I hear you. I understand. Is like magic. But in order to do this, you need to know that pain has a function in life. In fact, in my first book, Belonging to Life, I wrote a chapter on pain, and I love the title of it, The Fertility of the Dark. That this is why I love to talk about the yin and yang symbol, because the yin and yang symbol speaks the truth. Here is the dark, nestled with the light. There's no line in between them. There's no dualistic, that is evil and bad, and this is good and right. Dark and light are nestled together, and in the dark is a point of life, and in the light is a point of dark. So what would it be like to really get that our pain or another's pain is a part of their journey, that it's not something that is going wrong, so that feeds our resistance, it feeds our reactions. You know, it actually is a beloved teacher. Can you imagine the next time that somebody comes to you in deep pain, and rather than turning it into an emergency, you trust their process? This is why I love it's not so much a quote, but it's and I think I just said it in the last show, but oh my God, I love this quote. And this is from Trungpa Rinpoche. He is Pema Chodron's teacher, and this is actually, it's a paraphrase of a couple of chapters in his book, I think The Myth of Freedom, and it says, basically, it says, let me pause for a moment and see if I can remember how it starts. If there were no confusion, there would be no wisdom. Chaos is workable, not regressive. Respect whatever happens. Chaos should be regarded as extremely good news. I would imagine you've never quite thought of it that way. But go back to the yin and yang symbol. That life is made out of light and dark. And we have tried to just get to the light and leave the dark behind. But Jung says enlightenment consists not only in the seeing the luminous, but in making darkness visible. The latter is much more difficult, so it's far less popular. So we're talking today about the probably one of the least popular things on this planet, actually turning towards ourselves and exploring our discomfort. And even though it may be the least popular one, it is one of the most powerfully healing things you can do. Because your life will continue to open and close, to get easy and then get difficult, to become joyous and then sorrowful. And rather than riding the waves of resistance and to what is uncomfortable and trying to hold on, you know, to what you like, that is suffering. But to begin to see that life will always open and close, and it's in learning how to be present for it all. And what we're exploring today is how to be present for the difficult. Rumi, the wonderful Persian poet, says, your hand opens and closes, and opens and closes. If it were always a fist, or always stretched open, you would be paralyzed. Your deepest presence is in every small contracting and expanding, the two as beautifully balanced and coordinated as bird wings. I don't imagine you've ever thought that the opening and closing of your life is just as balanced and coordinated as bird wings. But what we're talking about here is one of the core pieces of coming out of the bubble of struggle and living from the ocean of being, living from who you truly are. So let this in. Just let it in. That maybe, just maybe, pain is your teacher. Maybe, just maybe, that resistance to your pain creates suffering. Maybe, just maybe, befriending your pain, keeping company with your pain, is where lasting healing happens. So start with little pains. Start with a itch on your cheek that becomes painful, or with a small headache. You know, start with the little physical pains, maybe a hangnail. You'll watch, you know, the hangnail comes and all of a sudden it's an emergency and oh my God, and my nails won't look great and, you know, and so on and so forth. Yeah. But have a moment where you actually go with your attention and you notice, does it hurt all around my nail? Or does it hurt in only one part of it? Is it a sharp pain? Is it throbbing? Or is it just aching? Does it come and go? Does the intensity stay the same? Or rise and fall? In these few moments of going towards and bringing your attention there, bringing your attention out of the reactions and the resistance, which is what makes up the bubble of struggle that keeps us separate from the ocean of being, you know, just even 30 seconds of bringing your attention out and actually exploring. Let's say it's a headache. Well, does your whole head ache? Probably not. Does it ache more on one side than the other? Is it right on the surface, right underneath your hair? Or does it go deeper into your head? Does it go down into your neck? Does it go over into your temple? Does it move around? Or does it stay the same? This is how we learn how to unhook from resistance and reaction so that we can begin to dissolve the bubble of struggle that keeps us separate from life. And so start with the little ones. And I assure you that over time, slowly and surely, you'll be able to be with even really painful trains of thought or deep, painful feelings. Let's go back to, you know, the text where, you know, the new love of your life decided that they were going to move on and, you'll let you know through a text. And, you know, so let's say, yeah, you go into reaction and you're just furious and you just throw pots and pans around and you call your friends and, you know, and you plot revenge and, you know, and then you go, drink the thing or smoke the thing or eat the thing or shop the thing or just get frantically busy with your to-do list, all in an attempt to get away from what you are experiencing. Of course, then, that's like being in quicksand, then the next day you experience more suffering because of the act of turning away from yourself. So then let's say you go to bed and you have a box of Kleenex by your bed and you've drunk the last glass of scotch and, you know, you go to sleep. And then you're woken up in the early morning hours, and everything is just going crazy. But all of a sudden, you remember, oh, I'm in reaction. And immediately, you go to what physically, because it's hard to do this at the beginning with the feelings and the thoughts, but you go to the most evident part of your body that is in pain. And let's say it's a lump in your throat that's so big that you just don't even feel like you can swallow. You know, if that is kind of scary, you know. And then you just bring your attention there. And you become fascinated. Is it stronger on the right side of my throat or the left side of my throat, you know, and does it go all the way up into my mouth, and does it move around, does it go down into my chest? All of a sudden, you are responding to what you are experiencing. You're not going away. And at the beginning, just a few moments of this is very powerful because we've been so trained in resistance that resistance will take over. I just have got to get out of here. And then we go get out of here and we spend the day, you know, overeating, or we spend the day, you know, over shopping, and we are, you know, kind of relieved that we're just numb, but gol darn it, that pain just doesn't go away. And so the next night we're woken up again. But now we're even more intrigued because we can see that as we turn away, as we run away, it only amplifies. Share with you experience that suffering does not end in trying to get rid of pain. In fact, it actually amplifies it. Suffering ends as we learn how to go towards, as we learn how to give our pain space, as we learn how to bring it home to our hearts, to allow it to float in our hearts. Stephen would say over and over again, treat yourself as if you were your only child. Yes, our hearts have been so closed to ourselves for so long, and it does take a while for our hearts to open again, to realize it's safe to open again, to realize you're not a child anymore. So be gentle. This is not the quick fix. This doesn't happen overnight, but I think you can hear the truth that going towards rather than away is where lasting healing happens. So if this intrigues you, you know, every single one of my books has a lot of good insight and invitations and ways to bring this into your life. And I've spent the last year creating two online courses, and the first one, What's in Your Way is the Way, is just finished. Oh, it was just so joyous to gather with people from all over the world and to explore this art of coming back to life. And then the second one is going to be begin in mid-January, and it's called Being Healed by Our Compulsions. What a novel concept. And it understands that our core compulsion is to struggle. And we will be exploring how to use our compulsions as a guide out of the bubble of struggle and back into the joy of being fully alive. So if you're interested in any of that, go to my website, MaryO'Malley.com, and be stunned. We've created a new website this year, and that first page, I absolutely love it. I could watch it forever because it points out the spaciousness that we really are. We are not this bubble of struggle. That bubble of struggle is part of the ocean of being. It's floating on top of it, but it's not separate from the ocean of being. But it is this temporary abode we have crawled into, and we can learn how to unhook from the bubble of struggle that we took on so we can again know the joy of being fully alive. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to this edition of What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley. You can access Mary's offerings on her websites, MaryO'Malley.com and WhatsInTheWayIsTheWay.com. Join Mary next time to experience the peace and joy that is always with you on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.